this is a good party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Connor?
Doing all right, Earl.
Yeah, you're doing all right.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. You know, man, I want to get right at it, man. A young lady yesterday was riding in a car coming back from a party, and she saw this phenomenon. I guess is what I'll call it, because I've noticed it is happening a lot. I know it happens a lot in Milwaukee. I don't know if it happens a lot in other parts of the country. I ask you if you've seen it. Maybe not so much in Waukesha, but I think in urban centers, I do know it's prevalent. But, as an old guy, I don't, understand it. I mean, there are a lot of things I don't understand as an older guy with younger people. I used to be young, believe it or not. And I was telling you before we came on the air, I did some crazy things, man, like smoking weed and driving. And you thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's like the most craziest thing I've ever heard somebody do. Like, one of my friends smoke weed and drive.
Well,
no, I'm joking.
I know
completely.
No, man, no, I understand, man.
Good.
And to you, that seems like, hey, man, that's commonplace. You know, that's not a big deal. But I think as a young man, that is about one of the craziest things that I ever did. And that's normal place today. That would not even be considered to be anything outlandish, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's evidence that we've evolved as a species.
Or devolved.
I mean, it depends on your perspective.
Right.
I think that those types of drugs can expand your perspective on things, but a lot of people get in experiences where they have someone that doesn't communicate to them exactly what it is, and they develop a really negative experience with it for the first time.
So let's clear the airwaves. You're talking about, you're looking at a guy who smoked marijuana for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you get it? Okay, so I'm not a guy who just smoked a joint. I smoked it for 30 years.
3-0.
Could have been, yeah, about 30 years at least. So loved it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And miss it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, but, I think even if they legalize marijuana, as much as I used to love it, I'd get up early in the morning. By now, I would have had my fix.
You'd have had your fix.
Yeah. So as soon as I got up, the first thing I'd do is light up, man. No matter what time it was, I got up. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to bed, before I went to bed, I would light up. And all day in between. So 365 days a year.
I mean,
You would see me now and you would not believe it, right?
No, you seem like such a responsible young man.
There came a point in time in my life where I had to quit smoking weed because of the things I was involved in the community and doing other things. And so, to me, my commitment to the community and others was bigger than me, getting high. And so people had so much faith and trust in me in our community that because of the things that I do and have done in the community as a guy who is kind of looked up to, I couldn't be working with children and, you know, and I'm getting high and I'm telling them not to get high. So yeah. It's one of the reasons why I quit. So, but my point is this, going back to what I was talking about with the young kids doing some crazy stuff. And so I don't know how many people in this listening audience, probably one, if any, has seen the phenomena where there's a guy driving the car. The other three people sit on the windowsill and their torso is out of the car. The only thing in the car are their legs. Have you seen that?
I saw it in a music video one time.
That's where it comes from then, man. Is that, that must be where it came from.
Oh, that darn hip-hop music.
Man, that it had. So I was wondering where they would get that from. And the guy is driving. He's steering the car, you know, and you know, and driving recklessly and switching and steering to the right. Yeah. And left and right. And it's like they're riding a bull, right? Yeah. And they're trying to hang on. And I'm like, man.
What are you doing?
Yeah. How crazy is that? Yeah. So you saw it in the video.
Yeah, it was in a music video one time. I mean, like I said before we went on air, it's an adrenaline rush. They do it because you're out. Like, I know people that are like car enthusiasts and stuff and like just going out to random parking lots in Milwaukee and doing donuts and having like minor races and stuff. It's a thing that a lot of young people do that are in the cars.
Look, man, as a young guy, you know, I tried, you know, I did a race. I tried to race one time. It didn't end well.
Were you getting a little bit?
I think I might have smoked a joint.
Yeah.
But it didn't end well because I had an accident. But I never did it again, right? And because you know, after having the accident, doing that, I learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering where that came from. And now you just, I should have known you would know. But, man, it's prevalent in the city. And so a young lady, unfortunately, was coming back from a party over the weekend. She saw some other guys doing it. So she climbed up on the windowsill and hung outside the car, and the guy did the jerk with the wheel the way they do, and it threw her completely out of the car. Well, it couldn't be completely because the majority of her torso was outside of the car anyway. The only thing left in the car is her legs. Mm-hmm. And so the weight of her body, when he switches to the left or to the right, the weight of that is going to come on the majority of the torso that's hanging outside the car. She fell out. She 70, you know, feet later, they found her. And I was asking you, man, if you think that that'll be a lesson to others. Because she died. Clearly, she struck her head.
People, I mean, it's kind of the story of humanity. People just taking incredibly large risks and then gaining lots of pleasure. But then someone, like in this case, this unfortunate woman, passes away or has to take the consequence of it. And so I don't think it's going to stop people from doing it. I think people are just going to look at it and say, well, you know, when I do it, I'm not going to do that.
What do you mean not going to do what, man? They're hanging outside the car.
I don't know. I mean,
no, man. So my thing is that I've never noticed what are they hanging on to.
That's the game. Nothing. You got to keep your balance. You just got to go really fast and keep your balance.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, it's only through the grace that this does not happen more often, man, because it scares me to death. I'm looking around here, And so, you know, I'm panicking. I'm gripping the wheel with two hands, you know, like the elders used to do. You know, you see the old granny, she's driving with her hands, both hands on the wheel. That's what I'm doing when I'm hearing this. Yeah, hearing the squealing and those kind of things. But, man, so that to me explains it from the standpoint that, you know, well, it might explain it to me, but I'm not feeling that life and death thing, man. I guess that's what they're doing. They're challenging life or death, right?
Yeah. And that's where the rush comes from.
Man, not to mention they're probably stoned out of their minds.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because here's the difference. From what they tell me, I don't know anymore. But the weed that we used to smoke was not so potent, from what they tell me now. You know,
yeah, I mean,
we would have to smoke weed all day, you know, and to get a buzz. And everything that people tell me about the new weed that's out here, man, you know, we smoke joint after joint after joint after joint after joint. We'd be smoking weed all day. But what they tell me about the new stuff is, man, you can get a couple tokes on a joint and stay high for hours. That's true?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true.
So the impact and the quality of what the weed is has more lasting effects on you, I would think. Huh? I don't know. Got to go to a break. I want to talk about it a little bit more on the other side, you know, and because, you know, there's some other parts of this and aspects of this that I want to talk about. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. See, I have to talk with Connor on this because the rest of the listening audience is like me, you know. Long past their toking days. Well, not all.
Well, I'm telling you, listeners of Earl Ingram, it's never too late to experience some more life and go out there and...
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
I can't say his name on air, but okay. It's Joey Bad Hayward with Dollar. He's really good, really great hip hop music, jazz hip hop music. If you guys are interested,
yeah. Sounds great, man. The lyrics. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, so if you're just joining us, I was asking about a phenomenon where, you know, young kids are young. Well, I can call them kids. They're adults, you know, young adults who are hanging outside of cars. They sit on the windowsill of the cars, and their torso, upper torso, is outside of the car. Their butts actually sit on the door sill where the window goes down and up. And the majority of the torso is outside of the car while the driver swerves to the left, swerves to the right with three other people hanging outside of those cars. And they're driving sometimes 40 miles an hour with that happening. And you just, and you know, I would always wonder, man, if somebody's going to fall out of the car and be run over by another car. Well, that happened this past weekend. where a young lady did just that and fell out of the vehicle and was, and 70 feet later, you know, she was dead. And I just couldn't understand the reason why people would do it. But, you know, it's, you know, kind of told me it was, you know, about the rush and those kind of things. I'll tell you another thing, man, that that I'm still trying to comprehend, that I see, you know, some of the young people doing, that that just, it gets me to ask the question if they really care whether they live or die. And I tell you something, man, in many instances, they, some of them don't care whether they die or not, right? I mean, their lives are so tormented, and that, you know, imagine what it must be like to a 20 years old, 19 years old, 17 years old, 18 years old, and not care whether you live or die. And so that's what we have in our society, right? People don't understand what these young people are going through.
Yeah, they don't. They don't.
You know, and not only do they not understand, in many instances, they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, every generation thinks their generation is the one that went through the most tribulation, because it's the things that happened during your generation you have most emotional attachment to, because you experienced them.
You're right.
And our generation is no different from that. I mean, I'm always one about trying to find balance in things and trying to understand exactly why things, and not trying to happen and not trying to place the blame on one specific person or party. So like when it comes to this generation, I feel there are pros and cons, right? Like the pros would be all the access to information, just the incredible access to tons of history and knowledge and artistry, and the connectivity between this entire generation from across the world. That's unprecedented in human history. But the negatives is, as a consequence of all that, right? It's a lack of purpose within one's community, one's physical, like local community. When you're a young person and you're witnessing all of these issues, lots of, and every single, let's say, company that exists pretty much specifically in this social media internet space is trying to extract as much information from you as possible and brainwash you to basically work for them, right? It just creates this really, 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 really terrible problem, this terrible issue of a lack of genuine physical community, and which contributes to a lot of the mental health issues that I think a lot of people in the common discourse don't take as seriously, because they don't understand what's causing it. They don't understand that this massive amount of technological and sociological exploitation is leading to it. They didn't experience it.
So what I will say to you is, there's no question that what your generation is faced with, much more difficult than what my generation. Let me go back on that, because we had the civil rights struggle.
Yeah.
And so what took place during the civil rights struggle and was very hurtful and damaging to many, especially depending on whether you lived in the South or whether you lived in the North. I lived in the North, as I have all my life, and experienced some of those things, but not to the degree that my fellow, you know, baby boomers experience in the South. Listen, we got to go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more. 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram, and Connor is co-hosting the show this morning. And Connor's show. And we'll be back.
harder, they sweat us. Jettison just met us, but they won't forget us. They know no better. In the worst case, I'll be at it for first place. Purchase they position, cause they worship oppositions. But I too had no pot to piss in, and some spot an assistant. And they still ain't got my decision. I won't stand under no man, except my high supplier. He got the fire, I got the lighter. I hit the double spinning, this when I'm spitting. Like it's gas leakers that I'm tripping, pimping.
Black Republican, black Democrat, black educator, black entertainers, like black businessmen, black people around me.
Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at this same number. You know, I was, you know, as I was going through and preparing for the show this morning, I couldn't help but be, you know, just, I was just frozen in place. As I was, you know, going through the Associated Press this morning, and I saw this title: Florida school shooter's birth mom abused cocaine and alcohol. So you may not remember this because these things happen with such frequency. But the birth mother of Florida school shooter Nicholas Cruz, I don't know if many of you remember Nicholas Cruz, he was accused of killing 14 students and 3 staff members on February 14, 2018 at Parkland's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Again, his name again is Nicholas Cruz, and a young man at that time. He's 23 years old, and so he walked into the school, murdered all of these children and adults, and the defense that they're putting up for him is that his mother was addicted to crack cocaine, and she was abused alcohol. And so, you know, this young man never had a chance at life because his mom was chemically addicted, which meant that, you know, that impacted and affected him, as his attorneys are saying. So he's been pleaded guilty in October to 17 counts of first degree murder. And so the trial is there to determine what his sentence is going to be. But what I'm concerned about is that they can use that as a rationale or as a defense for what he did. And I'm really concerned that he may wind up, you know, getting some leverage off of that. Let's go to Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. What do you say?
Oh, no. Yeah, I heard you talking, I guess, before the break about, you know, what the future generations have got to face off with this flood of disinformation. Yeah, I'm a real book nut, and, you know, I've been collecting books for years, and especially the censored books. And you know, the biggest...
well, you know, that number of books is growing that are censored, you know.
Oh, sure.
Go ahead.
But in other words, you know, if you think about the people versus the king, you know, the king tries to set up, you know, some empire using the work of the people, and he obviously never paid anybody enough and got them killed in fruitless wars and all sorts of different things. And whether it's King George III or any of the other thousand fake pretenders to the throne, this problem has gone on for so many centuries. But the advantage in the old days with a book or a writing was that you could hide it underneath a rock and it would still be there in 100 years. Versus if the electricity goes out with today's forms of communications, everything goes up in smoke until the electricity comes back on. And then whether or not there are telephone lines all across the world like there are with the Internet. And so electricity is of prime importance for the information age, and whether it's honest information or disinformation is kind of beside the point. The electricity is of great need. And I was just going to, are you familiar with a guy named George Seldes?
No.
Well, he was an author around the time of World War II. He was famous for fighting Nazis, especially fighting the rise of fascism in America before World War II. And he wrote one book called Tell the Truth and Run. And so, you know, I've taken that one to heart. You know, I'll call a lot of... Yeah, I'll call a lot of radio stations. I was just on in Texas asking about whether their congressman got them any money for the infrastructure bill last year, and with the recent floods down there, whether or not they just got, you know, lost all their topsoil because of those floods, and whether or not their congressman is a do-nothing congressman. And so the idea of telling the truth and running, they slammed down the phone, but the point got across that, you know, Texas got just deluged. They lost a lot of
seven inches of rain.
There was actually one section near Dallas that got 12 inches.
Right. I mean, yep. that is unfathomable. No system, regardless of where it is in the world, can accommodate that much rain in such a short period of time.
Well, the original system, you know, God's green earth, if you know about Texas, those old grasses that the cattlemen had eaten up in a matter of, you know, 20 years, those were like 10-foot grasses. They, you know, the buffalo could hide in those grasses, and a flood would obviously get caught up in those grasses and slow it all down. There's in the lower Mississippi, before the pioneers really, you know, chopped it all apart, they say that from Memphis all the way down to New Orleans, or farther, was a log jam.
So
it was a million-year-old log jam.
So, Dave. Let's get back to where you originally called to talk about the importance of books and why and so books were always you could have them, you know, and the new technology, you know, with computers and those kinds of things, all those things could be shut down if electricity, for whatever reason, power was lost, but the book itself will stand the test of time. Well, you know, fires burn books.
Well, you know, but you still, by the light of a candle in a basement, you know, you could read some.
So what I will say to you is, you know, the new technology affords you the opportunity, to get any book at any time in your own home, and to be able to you know, read it at your own leisure and not have to return it to a library. There's positive sides. There's positives on both sides of it. The new technology has certainly made it, you know, easier. For me, to be honest with you, reading it off the computer screen is easier for me than it is to read it from the book.
You're right in a lot of it, and I'm not denying that we have a great opportunity, you know, where one person down in a basement read with a candle reading some historical text, and how would he communicate what he's learning as quickly as we can on Facebook or
right.
on Twitter or on, you know, things like that. You take a photograph of an image. As a matter of fact, I was reading an old book about Napoleon last night, and yeah, you're right, the text is so small, man. I had to hold that thing up to a light to be able to read some of the tiny text in it. But
the older we get, the more difficult that becomes.
But the point is that communicating quickly is really important. And one of the things that I've been doing in the last couple of weeks, I saw a video on YouTube recently about the Sahara Desert. And, you know, these massive floods have taken so much topsoil, and they're continuing to take away the topsoil. And so this video on YouTube talking about the Sahara Desert, they're claiming that it basically went to a desert within 100 years. It had been green all across northern Africa for, you know, centuries or millennia, and then all of a sudden something happened that caused basically all their topsoil to get washed away. And I'm going to bet that it was floods like this. And it may actually have been like your historical Noah's flood kind of thing.
Well, you know, Dave, I believe, just me, that all of the things that happened on this planet, for the most part, the planet is such a perfect creation that that it can never be destroyed.
The planet itself, it's just that, you know, nowadays we've got like nuclear power plants sitting around.
I get that. I mean, I'm not unmindful of those things, but this is such a perfect creation. You know, they can bomb, you know, as we did in Iraq, in Afghanistan, nonstop and knock down mountains. And people not understanding the whole purpose of why mountains were created in the first place, to add balance to a earth that is not perfectly round. And
sure.
The fact
yeah,
that
much
those
less they were. I heard once that they knocked down some of those mountains so they could run a pipeline through there, and
yes.
They were just pretending. Yeah, they pretended there was military activity there, but they were really working for the pipeline company and the taxpayers.
I wish I had more time, man. There's some great subjects that you are talking about, and maybe we'll do those subjects a little bit later. But thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Always
sure.
appreciate
Stay
talking
safe.
To you. Thank you. You know, I want to get back to, again, what took place with this young man and the fact that now there's some compassion and sympathy that they're trying to play into, that this is the reason that he did what he did because of, you know, his mother. And so, you know, what do you think? Does that have some merit? Is there somewhere in that conversation sympathy for this young man who slaughtered 17 people? Is there something in your heart that says, yeah, he had it tough, you know?
Not really.
He had a mother who, well, this is what they're trying to push.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm you know, going to challenge that is, man, you see that every day in Central Cities, right? You see that every day. You see children who've been exposed to horrific situations whose parents have basically left them to fend for themselves. And can that be an excuse, an acceptable excuse for that type of behavior?
No, I mean, I don't think it is. I think in this specific case, it definitely isn't. And I think that's not a very, very... It's actually a pretty insulting argument because there are a lot of people that grow up in situations where...
And overcome all those things.
Yeah, exactly. And to insinuate that a person that does something as terrible as murder 17 people because of his own vanity and his own pathology is as a consequence of his mom partaking in drug usage, very unhealthily that is, but there's just no correlation there. You know, a person, if you do something like kill 17 people, right, you have an observer.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You text us the same number. You know, I'm talking about a young man who back in 2018 slaughtered 14 children at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. And three adults. And his attorney is arguing that his life story and the fact that he was born with fetal alcohol syndrome, and that the fact that, you know, this happened because his mother was addicted to alcohol and drugs should be taken into consideration. When he's sentenced, he's already, you know, pleaded guilty. It's a matter now of whether he lives or is going to be executed. And I maintain that there'll be people who will have sympathy for him because they'll say, well, he never had a chance because of, you know, what happened, with his mom. And here's what his attorney had to say. He's a brain-damaged human, she said. She said, nothing in Cruz's life story will erase that the seven men, five women, and 10 alternates have seen things that will haunt us forever. Cruz pleaded guilty in October to 17 counts. Everyone knows there's one person responsible for all that pain and all of that suffering. And that person is Nicholas Cruz, she said. But she hopes jurors will remember that the law never requires you to vote for death, not even in the worst case imaginable. And again, her concern is that he had a horrible life. He lived a horrible life. He was doomed from the beginning because of what his mom did before his birth. And phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What do you say? Is there some clearly correlation between the fact that, you know, his mom drank and did drugs, during the time that he was, you know, developing? And I'll tell you, man, that can't be accepted because that would, man, the amount of people who have come through the same kind of situation and not did what this young man did, it means that that's a long shot at best, and there's no way that should be used as an excuse for his behavior.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. I feel like we should get more, like, insofar as the death penalty or penalty and his consequence of being execution, I think on that front, the conversation then becomes, you know, is it useful to do such a thing, right?
What?
Because I think that we approach the issue with a moralistic sense, right? Like, we don't, like, you have some people that just, that believe in more of like a transactional, right, thing. An eye for an eye. This person did this terrible thing. He deserves it happening to him. And then you have other people that want to show compassion for every single person
usually because of a religious belief or because of some philosophical belief. But I think we need to turn away from that and start looking at it from a utility point of view, right? Because people like this who don't understand, who don't have a fundamental reaction to something as terrible as an action like killing someone or killing 17 people, right? I don't personally understand the use of someone like that in a collective society. Like, what is the objective use? How can they give value to people? How can they help? There isn't very much whatsoever, because in order to participate specifically in this free enterprise or this kind of weird system that we have of free enterprise, you have to be willing to give value to other people by understanding their needs.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to the phone line, Connor and Larry. Hey, Larry, how you doing? Thank you very much.
I think it's Jean from Eau Claire.
Okay, hey Jean.
Yeah.
Hey Jean, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. No,
it's Joe. It's
okay, Joe.
Madison, sorry about that.
Hey, okay, Joe. Thank you for the call.
It's Jean.
Jane. Thank you. Okay. All right.
Jean from Eau Claire.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. What are your thoughts?
Hey, this is great. I got to tell you something. Yesterday when you started your show, I was giggling. I love this talk between you and Connor. It's just outstanding, because we need to understand. Generations need to understand one another and what they're going through and why they think the way they do.
Right.
And this is so enlightening for me. Connor, you are very well spoken, and this is wonderful.
Yeah,
I wanted to give
he's
my 2 cents.
Go ahead.
I would like to give my 2 cents worth real
yes,
quick
ma'am.
Here. And I think that we cannot make excuses for behaviors. If this gun wouldn't have been available, and you know, this weapon, you know, of war, it needs to go, because they keep blaming this behavior on mental health. It isn't the gun, it's the person that has it. So Kyle Rittenhouse got off without any
right.
We cannot excuse this type of behavior, and people need to be held accountable. Unfortunately, he maybe gets some help if they give him a life sentence in prison, and he'll have to work the rest of his life there. This is not even accounting for all of the mental health and the trauma that every single person, all of those kids have to live with for the rest of their life.
He killed 17 people, 14 yep. children. So, you know, the question becomes whether or not he's going to get the death penalty, or whether or not he gets life in prison. And his attorney is pushing for life in prison, as they would. But her rationale is because the mom was an alcohol and drug addict.
That's scary to me. The whole thing is just we're out of control in our country, and we're not holding people accountable. And the young people see this, and they say, "What you know? What are the rules, and why aren't anybody following them?" And I don't know. You know, I want to be forgiving, but I think that's up to the families. I really do. And
so quickly, should he be put to death, or should he? You know, what are your thoughts about the death penalty?
You know what? I have some.
And if you don't want to share it, that's fine.
Yeah, and you know what? See, I worked in this area, so I always look to the causes of why a person behaves in the way
right.
that they do. So I'm going to be a little bit more, you know,
understanding
where you put him for the rest of his life. You know what I mean? That
right.
kind of thing. So, yeah.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, bye.
All right, really appreciate it. Wish I had more time. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by my good friend, Michael Rosen, Dr. Michael Rosen. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Don't believe the sight you see before your eyes.